called me earlier.
Yes, you called me earlier, and I didn't get it, and they just told me.
Right, well, it's kind of... sort of a strange feeling that I guess I get used to it, boss. Kind of like losing a good friend and family when I'm fighting one of these battles. One of those I regard a big one without your troops with me, but I sure love you, and I think I'm going to win this thing today, but it's going to be close.
Uh-huh.
I think Bert Bass is going to stand up. Talked to him last night, and I think that Arkansas Gazette will deliver Bill Fulbright to Kennedy, but I think that Bill Spong will probably vote with me, and I think I'll win by margin of one.
Oh.
I don't see very well how a man from Virginia can vote to throw out of the leadership a man who stood up there and voted 20 votes for Virginia in 1952. We didn't have but two. And if they do, I think that... he'll get his reward if he runs for office next time. Now, maybe he hasn't thought about that, but I'm going to talk to him this morning and teach him a better thing about it. Because there's been enough Negroes over there Virginia, enough Kennedy to elect you when the issue gets to be not whether you're for the Negro or the white man, but whether you're for Virginia. So I think that my chance is a pretty good supremacy with about one or two margins.
Mm-hmm. Have you heard anything from Spong?
Talked to him last night. He said he's going to talk to me and talk to Kennedy, and I didn't bring his point up last night, but he said he's going to call me today and let me know what he decided to do. And I've got two men looking for him to talk to him about that situation of long voting to seek Virginia. And as a matter of fact, that thought just never occurred to me. I've been around this place for blame long, Mr. President. Kind of like you, I've forgotten all the favors I've done to people down 2 years. But,
what about Inouye?
I think they've got that one. I just don't think I've got any leverage to hold on to him with. They got too many things to work with.
What about Mansfield?
I think Mansfield's going to vote with me. You can construe Mansfield's language one way, and I can construe it another. I hear by the grapevine...
I don't know. I don't know at all. I just...
I hear by the grapevine that they're planning to try to make a maneuver to keep Mansfield from voting by asking Mansfield to say he can serve with either one of these two men. He'd like to be excused from voting. That's the key. I've got to get hold of somebody like Dick Russell. Dick was not disposed to do the kind of thing that you thought that it might be a good idea to do. I wasn't going to ask him unless he wanted to. And but I am going to ask him to do this, because if you do, you'll be president pro tempore the time this comes up. And as much as you'll already be president pro tempore, I think I could ask Dick to say, well if Mike should ask to be excused from voting, to say, that's all fine, Mr. Leader. It's all fine, but I'm willing to excuse you from voting on this condition. That if we sort of can't agree and wind up on a tie, which is a possibility here, that you'll break the tie. You know, if we can't make the decision for you, you're going to have to make it. You understand? Because I'm sure that you're not being asked to relieve the responsibility for breaking a tie, because if it's a tie, you and only you could break it.
What about Bertie?
That's one I've got a chance on, but I'm going to talk to him again. I don't know. I hadn't got Simonton, hadn't got Harris. You're right about that. As a matter of fact, Asa, and I guess I shouldn't tell you what you don't want to be identified, told me that because he voted against me, and seeking to apologize with him, explain with him, excuse himself for not voting against me, not voting for me. He said, at least I'm not fighting you, Russell. He said, on the other hand, look at Harris over there. He said, that man told me that he and Martindale are two agreed to be two of the campaign matches against you. For Kennedy and against you. He said, I'm not fighting you. You understand that? So, but I don't know what Harris is doing. It's actually campaign match against him. He's voting against him. And all things you said are correct. I guess it's probably going to be that way. I'm just relying upon Bert Spy standing by his word, though, and the body's thrown around here, and we thought it was not the only one who have a way of keeping their word when they give it. And frankly, if that situation is generally contagious among these Yankee boys, then I guess I'll lose it because guys like McGee and Cannon and people like that would take a powder on me. But if these men who have always been men of honor stand fast, well, hell, I've got it made.
Who are you counting?
Well, I hadn't got that old checkoff list here, but it just works out to every uniform-wearing Confederate, minus Fulbright, Gore, minus Yarbrough.
What did Yarbrough tell you?
Well, some of it just stressed that it has to do with his long-nurtured venom toward you, and what all Bobby Kennedy did to save him, up in Billy Solis, just one thing and another, and that how he owes his political life to Bobby Kennedy, and that being the case, he's got to vote for Ted Kennedy, and and kind of speaking the usual type of incoherent stuff that he said, he talked about his relationship with you. So that's typical around. Any time Ralph does something, don't make a damn bit of sense. It's always so damn illogical and incomprehensible that I never do try to master it enough to try to repeat it. It's just about impossible. This boy Gravel is the only freshman I've got, but he's a hell of a solid guy. I think he's a real comer. You'd love him if you're with him. Have you met that guy?
No.
Well, you'll like him. He's a real comer. And this boy's old boy Allen is coming up here from Alabama's a damn fine boy, too. That old boy ain't asked a damn thing at all. He just never asked nothing. Just says, hell, count on me. Told him the second time to say that just count on him. Before any question ever came up at all.
What does Fulbright say?
Well, I hadn't talked to Fulbright. He's flying back in here to vote, I guess. John McClellan told me a few minutes ago, he said, you're not going to get that vote. And I said, why? I said, why? He said, well, the publisher of the Arkansas Gazette called me last night and demanded that I vote for Ted Kennedy, and I cussed him out. And he said, that won't be the reaction when he calls Bill Fulbright. So he said, you can just forget about Fulbright, folks. You aren't going to get that one. So, and so I guess maybe that's how it's going to be. Fulbright's got all kind of ideas about how he ought to be on the policy committee and how we ought to reduce the size of the committee, effective which would be to squeeze Bill to squeeze McGee back off of it. And we ought to do this thing and that thing, and he votes with us. So negotiating for everything, and hell, I tell the guy, I say, well, look, now suppose I do all that for you. I don't know what I could deliver if I tried, but suppose I could deliver on all that. Are you in position to tell me that if I did all that, you'd vote for me, you understand? And he's still equivocating.
Have you talked to Metcalf?
I'm counting on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm counting on that one. I think that I'm the only one who does know how he's going to vote.
Mm-hmm.
And and I'm counting on Mansfield, but I think I may get an insurance vote, and if that's the case, that'll be fine. And there's there's a few so-called undersized folks walking in that room. Steve Young walks in undersized. I think he's undersized leaning toward them. And I think Buddy's a possibility.
You better talk to him, and I'll see you, and I appreciate you calling me.
Well, thank you, Mr. Bye. President. Just want you to know how it's going along. You know I love you. I think you're the greatest president of all time.
Thank you. Thank you, Reverend. Bye.